Vic, thank you. Thank you very much. Vic, thank you.
It's really good to see so many people here. In fact, I don't know who everybody here is, although hopefully I've got around to have a chat with you. So thank you very much for coming. I hope that after today, we can go out and lead on from everything we've discussed and the things we're going to bring up. Lead on to May, because we've got 99 days to go, which can sound like a large number, but really, in the whole scheme of things, it isn't. And part of me is hoping or wishing that I put myself forward earlier, because really, I can see that it's ballooning, and even from when I first took this over in October, membership on the island has tripled, and nationally has tripled, and people coming to our meetings, again, has tripled. So it's turning into a sort of a different sort of campaign to what I initially envisaged, which is fantastic. People coming up to meetings saying, we're here to help. We're here to help. And we're having to find things, you know. I mean, we can actually do things now that we didn't think we could do before, to do with money, donations. So thank you very much. It's really good to see lots of you here today. Along with that, there's a whole lot of Green Party policies, and you may have seen in the media in recent days the plethora of policies that Natalie Bennett and other members of the Green Party have had to support and defend. It's a big task to take all those policies and to put them forward to the public in words that I understand or that are relevant to what's happening today, because some of those policies have been around for many years, and they've been taken out of context in a way, but my job is to put them forward. Now, at the moment I'm working full-time, and I've got three boys that I look after by myself most of the time. So I'm doing the most that I can do, and it's been a great honour. So thank you ever so much for letting me be in this position today. I'm going to put forward six of the policies, really, that I think are important for the Isle of Wight on the doorstep. And those are the economy, education, transport, health, the environment, and local government. And it's on those policies that our party is providing a different approach to the other parties, an approach which is for the common good. And you can see that the global crash that we had in 2008, which was before the last election, and the Lib Dem coalition has resulted in a great inequality in our society. Our society is more unequal than it's been in the last 30 years. And the widening gap between the rich and the poor is harming the economy, not just our society. Our economy is 9%, according to the OECD. It's 9% smaller than it could have been if we'd actually made it a more equal economy and redistributed our wealth. In the last 30 years, we've been told by government that this trickle-down economics, where the rich pay the less tax and they're going to purchase more, is the solution. And it's becoming clearer and clearer that it's actually this inequality that is curbing our growth. The manifesto for the Green Party is going to be released in the spring, and that's going to lay out carefully the taxation plan, so I'm not going to do that here today. It's going to include a tax on the wealthiest 1%, but really it's looking at it from the point of view of what do we need to provide and where are we going to find this money. And the Green Party policies for the islanders that are directly relevant to the islanders are things like a living wage, the abolition of the bedroom tax, and a citizen's income that I was talking about earlier, which is there to replace the benefits, the pensions, benefits of sick and disabled. And it's been considered by Switzerland most recently. It's not a ridiculous idea. It's an efficient idea in many respects to do that so that everybody can have a basic level of income that all citizens are entitled to. We need to run the economy with people in mind and move us towards an equal society, and we need to use the economy to work for us. In terms of education, I believe I'm unique in the candidates, as I've got not just a political stake, but a personal and a private immediate stake in our education on the island, because I've got three young children, two at primary school age, one at preschool age. And in 2 years' time, it's my job to choose a secondary school for my eldest. And at the moment, I have absolutely no idea what school that would be. Saying this, I think that the blanket descriptions to describe our education on the island as horrendous, inadequate, appalling, I think are misrepresenting the shake-up that the teachers have had to undergo and the improvements that they've made since this shake-up. The shake-up was inefficiently managed in the last 5 years, and we're suffering the consequences of this. And it's not just me saying that, but Ofsted can see that, and other people can see how we're improving, but we've got a long way to go. Although we're suffering on the island since our education, the government have kept very quiet about this, because it's the academies that are leading our secondary school education on the island, and the academies are supposed to be the solution to failing schools. And unfortunately, it's showing that having these private companies based on the mainland running our schools and leaving it unaccountable to the ordinary people, we're left with surplus places, so it's inefficient, not only inefficient, but the results are not what we'd hope. It's a mix of academies and a free school and a studio school, and we don't have the control. And you can see that in the meeting, the public meeting at Riverside last night, where they were looking at what we're going to do about our surplus places, are we going to close schools? We need more accountability, and the Green Party aim would be to have these schools under a local authority control, where we could actually have a local accountability for that. From my experience in the education sector, I'm a lecturer at the Sixth Form College. One of the biggest issues that hinders progress in our schools is recruitment of staff. Our students deserve the best qualified teachers, and the recruitment of staff is the difficulties for a whole host of reasons, but one is our expensive and our infrequent transport links with the mainland, which means it's very difficult to teach here unless you live here. So I have somebody who's assisting me and giving me some time off to be able to come and do things like this, and he comes from Southsea every day. Not only is that expensive, but it's very difficult to do that, but we've tried other people to recruit who've got the same skill set, and they're just not there. I mean, in terms of our transport, last summer, we had ferry tickets costing £147 to get on the car from Portsmouth to here. I stayed on the island the whole holiday last summer. I didn't go and see my family, which I normally do in the summer holidays. I just couldn't justify it. 14 years of the MP has got us to a worse place than when we started. The prices are more expensive, the service is more infrequent. My mum's saying that when she comes back after a holiday, she'll have to wait an hour and a half to get back when she gets back to Portsmouth. The Better Ferry campaign isn't working. And although we need to put pressure on in those sorts of ways, it's limited when your Member of Parliament is from a party that supports private finance and private companies being involved. I'm not saying that electing a Green Party MP is going to result in a renationalised ferry service overnight, but it opens up the options of looking at different sorts of solutions, which our current MP is unable to do. As the MP for the Isle of Wight, we believe that public transport should be run by the public and not for vast profits, and we'll be able to broaden our solutions to look at those. Health, along with the economy, is going to be the biggest concern for the general election in May. It's crucial to secure funding for the NHS, to take it forward as the global flagship health authority that it is. We spend in this country about 9% of our GDP on health. In the United States, they spend double that on their private healthcare. It's not a solution to bring in private companies, because they're taking our taxpayers' money and they're using it to provide a service and profits for their shareholders. It's public money going towards private people. Involving in that, there's a morass of competition law around this now, and hospitals having to deal with lawyers and tendering when actually they should be dealing with getting on with the service. And you can see that on the Isle of Wight with the recent initiative to involve a company called Ryhurst, involved in our estates management. Although you can say this is a non-clinical service, they are still taking or getting profits from the buildings that actually belong to our health authority. It doesn't really stop there either, because in Staffordshire, Richard Branson and Virgin Care are tendering for a £1.2 billion cancer and end-of-life care 10-year contract, which the money is vast and it's a clinical service, and we need to have people to stand up in Parliament to say this is actually not what the people wanted. And the people in 2010 did not vote for that. And our Parliament needs to be a lot more representative of the people, some of which you see here today, but I know there are so many more people that disagree with the direction our NHS is taking. Because of this, there is a group of concerned doctors, nurses, academics that are put forward an NHS reinstatement bill, which I've signed up to along with 50 other Green parliamentary candidates. You can see that online. And it's about reinstating the government having the duty and the Minister of Education to have the duty to look after our health service, which was taken away under Andrew Lansley's report. We need to re-establish the fundamental principles that underline our NHS. It's not only got to be free at the point of delivery, but the government has got to be accountable for the service and shareholders not to profit from our taxpayers' money. And looking at the environment, which many people think that the Green Party is all about, but you can see so far, it's not just the environment, it's looking at equality as general, social equality. Our environment's undergoing a crisis at the moment. We've got fracking in the news only this morning, building on green spaces, car pollution and threats to endangered species. We have to take a stand. And as far as I see, the other political parties are playing lip service, but they're not doing this. Whether you believe in human-induced climate change or not, the fact remains that fossil fuel-powered lifestyle is a finite resource. It's a no-brainer that as a nation, we have to invest in renewable energy technologies. And we can't leave it too late. And it's for this reason why I'm against fracking on the island. Yes, there's an environmental threat, but actually, the bigger threat to me is that by following that, it's a distraction from what we should actually be doing, which is looking for long-term solutions. And a reliance on fossil fuels isn't that. The Isle of Wight, to bring it back to where we are, is a perfectly placed to benefit from the investment in jobs in our renewable energy industry. And that's a big focus of the Green Party employment plan, is jobs to combat climate change. We're the sunniest place in the UK, though you wouldn't necessarily know that today. We've got tides surrounding us, we've got the offshore wind farm at Navitas Bay, which could hopefully bring 150 jobs to Yarmouth. We're already a green island. Electing a Green MP would support the growth in jobs and industry. The dairy industry is particularly close to my heart. I grew up on a dairy farm 15 years. My father left, he was one of the 10,000 dairy farmers who have left in the last 15 years, forced to leave the industry because the bulk buying of the milk, putting it again into a market with the supermarkets, means that although you've got cheap food for customers, it's a huge cost for the food producers, and we just do not have the money to invest in our farms. So we need to look at protecting dairy farmers, we need to look at small shopkeepers, we need to look at the high streets. It's all these things tied up together. The environment, as I see it, isn't just about the countryside, it's about how the countryside impinges on our lifestyles in towns as well. So we need a sustainable solution to the climate change and the threats of the food producers. And this, again, is a priority for the Green Party. Bringing it back to home is looking at some of the problems, in fact, most of the problems, I think, on the Isle of Wight are due to local government. It's a direct result of the reduction in money from central government to our local authority. And I've got a long list here that I just did from the top of my head when writing this, which was, in the last 5 years, we've seen our tourist information close. We've seen our public toilets closed. Our local libraries are constantly threatened with closure. There have been mass redundancies, increased parking charges, tendering our countryside. We can see this week the details about tendering the countryside at Afton Marshes and at Brading Down to the control of third parties because our local government don't have the money. Our school crossing patrols are threatened. Our lifeguard services are cut. Our sports centres have had the funding removed. There are going to be charges for respite care, a reduction in youth services, cutting budgets for vulnerable people with disabilities, the joint partnership with Hampshire Fire and Rescue that we have to undergo, again, it's due to money, a removal of funding from the museums and arts, and cuts to essential community bus services that so far on the island we've managed to avoid, but it's looking like it's not possible. And whole communities like at Medina Park, down Folly Lane, will be cut off. These are essential, as I see it, although they're not deemed as statutory according to local government. There are lots more to add to the list. There's £30 million that we have to cut in the next 3 years, so it's going to be worse. And it's inadequate grants from the local authority. It's a national issue. It needs to be solved on a national level. you know, our council leader has tried to go and get money from the national government and has had very limited solution in that, because it's only at a national level, as your MP, that I can challenge the narrative of austerity as a solution. It's not working. Austerity isn't working. And it's the most vulnerable islanders. It's the elderly, people with disability and care needs who are suffering the most. And as far as I see it, it's essential that the funding cuts to local authorities are halted, because that is what everybody is dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And all the things I've talked about, the health, absolutely are important, but my personal priority is we need to actually get the money for the buses, for the adult social care. These are things we need. In 2010, as Bob said when he stood at the last election, it was almost a different age, Bob. Very few of us talked about food banks. We didn't talk about bedroom taxes. We didn't talk about 0 hours contracts. These weren't commonplace words. But in 2015, they are. And it's not progress. It's not growth. It's a result of government policies of the last 5 years that have impacted greatest on citizens who struggle to get jobs, who struggle to get a roof over their heads and food on the table. And just imagine us in 5 years' time from now, with a government led purely by the business-as-usual parties of any colour, what would it be like? We keep getting told the greatest cuts are yet to come. And I can't sit by and watch that happen. And this is why last summer I joined the Green Party, and it's why I urge people in here to vote Green in 2015. There are only so many changes we can make on an individual basis to improve our society. You know, I can choose what car I drive, I can choose how much I recycle, I can choose who I buy products off and what sort of products. But real, lasting, meaningful change has to take place on a much bigger scale. And we need to hold Westminster to account for this. And we need to make Parliament much more representative and stop the attack on services that islanders hold most dear. Because the Isle of Wight is a green island. Much of our businesses, our tourism, our manufacturing are green. We are world class for renewable energy technologies. The area keeps growing with solar, with tidal, and with turbine innovations. Visitors travel from all over the world to see our beautiful green spaces, to eat our local produce, and to stay in our increasingly sustainable holiday accommodation. To elect a Green Party MP is a fitting stamp on our credentials and our identity. A Green MP for the Isle of Wight. I do urge you all to join, to build up a campaign and put our island firmly at a national stage at Westminster. The Green surge has arrived on the Isle of Wight.